This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Dayton, Ohio. Death of a worker who fell into a chemical vat in an Ohio business was an accidental drowning. A coroner ruled. Dana Swisher, who was 60, fell into the vat at Tech Metals on Tuesday. He had worked for the company for several years. The tank contained liquid chromic acid. Tech Metals works with chemicals that are used for metal plating and coating for different industries. Either way, he basically drowned in a vat of acid. Our question, what was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Again, and Mike and I had this conversation. We had the farmer earlier, the machine he was on tipped over. He dropped into a pile of liquid manure. He drowned. Fair enough. He could have been killed from the fumes as well, even if he was trying to wade in it. But when you fall into a pool of acid, like, did you drown? Is that how we're going to say? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
if you popped
out real quick, you know, if you swam to the edge and got out, right?
Right. I get the feeling.
Yeah, you didn't drown.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, technically, I get
it's
it.
It's like Batman and Robin stuff from the TV days.
Right. And Joker never said, I'm going to drown you in the acid. Like, I'm going to burn you alive. Mm-hmm. This is going to be painful.
What was the moment that you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, old Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, welcome back, fellas.
Hola. Hola.
cutting to the chase. You know, I was an electrician, I believe I've mentioned before, but I was going through a divorce, you know. And we were working in an operating can factory, which is pretty damn noisy. But we were working on, you know, a 600-amp bus off of a scissor lift about 25 feet in the air, 480 volts. And, you know, I was thinking about my situation, and without paying attention to my work, my screwdriver slipped up, went face to face, you know, blew up. Sounds like a grenade. And my partner jumped damn near off the lift, and he turned around at me and he said, man, you were so cool. You just slowly, with all the hair burned off your arm, lowered your screwdriver back out of that bus. What the hell did you think I was going to do?
So how bad were you messed up, Don?
Actually, not bad at all. You know, I mean, it just burned the hair off my arm. But to remind myself, I took that screwdriver and reground it, refiled it, and carried it for about 15 years to remind me to keep my mind on my work and not my personal life.
Got my mind on my work, mm-hmm. on my mind.
What was more painful, getting electrocuted up on that lift or the divorce itself?
The divorce.
Oh, okay. Easily. Because yeah. It lasts longer.
I know, so I was going to say, like that.
You didn't leave the screwdriver in for like three long years, man, you know.
What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
I like that it took getting electrocuted.
Right, to get your mind back on work?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, to concentrate.
No, that he thought now he found out it's a dangerous job. Like,
yeah, I'm working around electrician. I'm cool.
Right, in general, I think, like, electrician. Dangerous job.
That's why I call them. You know, people, man, it's an easy fix. I'm like, I hear you. And it probably is, but I'm not 100% sure of what I'm doing. So I'm going to go ahead and call
you,
somebody.
You can make a lot of mistakes, but if you mess up with electricity or plumbing, that's on you for not hiring
somebody. That is why I call people. Those two things. I'm like, I'm sure it's simple. Simple.
You could mess up plumbing in your house.
And not die.
Right. Thousands of dollars. Right. Right. But generally, you're not going to drown because you busted a pipe.
No, exactly.
If you did that. Do you think that has ever happened in the history of plumbing that, I don't know, you're in a windowless basement or something, they end up busting a pipe, somehow couldn't get back upstairs and drown? It has happened at least once, right?
Nothing else in play?
Nothing else in play. You know, it wasn't like...
It's had to have happened.
I mean, just like once.
But
somehow.
You would have to wake up. It's not going to come in a rush.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that happens.
It sounds ridiculous, but crazy things happen all the time. Just picture some guy like, I can't believe it.
Well, that was one of the worst stories since we've been in Seattle. There was a woman in Madison Park. Mm-hmm. She was in her basement. We had heavy rains and flooding.
Yeah.
She couldn't get out and drown in her basement.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, when did this happen?
I don't know. 10 years ago. She was in her apartment in Madison Park.
So it's a basement apartment.
Basement apartment. And she drowned in her basement apartment.
I don't care who you are. You did not think that's
how
you're going to go.
I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is not a cheap place to live.
All that money.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. It's not.
Here's what.
That should not happen to you.
They don't give the full story here, but it says I was working at a pet store. Had to clean the saltwater fish tanks containing a blue ring octopus. Do you know how dangerous the blue ring octopus is?
I've heard of it, but
like,
I don't.
It is, like, as far as octopi go, like, that is the one, I guess, that is super duper double down venomous. And, like, I think they're native to Australia, I believe. So, like, everything in Australia can kill you and all these different things. So, my question is, why would a pet store have a blue ring octopus?
For somebody who's got like a 100, 200-gallon tank.
I mean, maybe, man.
And there's people
know.
Out there who have sharks in their house.
Yeah, I know, but it's not a great white.
And what do you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a great white shark. Like, it is a smaller fish that
what
they
do you
tell
feed
you is
it?
A shark. I don't know.
Because you'd have to buy tropical fish. That's the thing. You can't just dump goldfish in salt.
Right, you got
to
buy expensive fish
that's
for
what I'm
it
saying.
To eat.
Just to eat. You have to buy fish that normally would be somewhat pricey.
But you can buy... Like dangerous fish, right?
You can buy a piranha, but a piranha might mess your hand up. But a single piranha
will eat a hot
is
dog.
Not going to kill you. The blue ring, like this thing, can kill you.
It's kind of like a tiger fish,
or I guess like having a venomous snake.
Yeah, you know, fair enough.
I mean, trust me,
but you can feed a venomous snake. That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you feed this thing?
Oh, you just drop in, like you're saying, drop in other edible fish.
I'm sure PetSmart has their blue octopus. Blue octopus feed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hola.
No, we can't. Can you still hear us?
Is he trying to connect or disconnect from the Bluetooth? He's disconnected.
And the phone is gone.
And he's gone.
So to answer the question we didn't hear, no, we cannot hear you.
We'll call back and maybe we will.
Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Real quick, someone saying, blue rings are one of the most poisonous or venomous creatures on the planet, period. Again.
Yeah.
But
they just look so friendly.
Yes, they look so friendly. So, Trevor, when did you...
That looks venomous.
Oh, let me see this thing again. Yes!
Right, so, I'm an aerospace machinist, and I work at a machine shop, and apparently some guy on night crew, I work day shift, but... A guy on night crew was working at his machine. There are these big milling machines, and he dropped a bolt in the front of the machine. It rolled back into the chip conveyor belt, and coolant covers the chip conveyor belt. And he didn't know there was one underneath there, and he reached his hand down to get the bolt, and his hand got caught in the conveyor and pinched between that and the wall of the machine, and it like ripped all the skin and meat off his hands on both sides.
He has a hand, but no skin on it.
Yeah, and apparently you can see the bones and the tendons and stuff. And it's crazy. He actually still has his hand in it, and he's like working on using it. They've like rebuilt it with all the muscles in his arms and stuff. It's pretty wicked.
Is it? I'm assuming that if you're to look at his hand, it's obvious that it has been through some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
How long was he out of work?
It was quite a few months, and then he's got put on a something that's a little bit more manageable for his hand and what, like, his capabilities. And it's really cool that he got to keep it. But one of the craziest part is the guy working next to him, unfortunately, was deaf. So he had to sit there and wait for this thing to totally rake his hand from top to bottom. And he was trying to talk to the guy, but the guy was deaf, so he couldn't even hear him or see him.
Well, like, at least the deaf guy didn't have to listen to him scream.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
very true. There's a positive there somewhere.
I'm glad I'm deaf, so I could not hear the scream that must
all
have
I
come out of your mouth.
Your mouth is wide open as I've ever seen it.
Man, he looks like he's screaming.
Yeah, and you're crying. What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So it was week number one on a job as a forklift mechanic. I worked out in the field, traveling out to customers, doing repairs, maintenance, yada, yada. My boss was the safety manager, so he had to go out anytime there was an accident. You know, sometimes there's police involved. I remember one time there was a coroner involved. That was actually the first week that I was there.
Damn.
A truck driver had gone to move a order picker, which I don't know if you know what that is. It's a forklift that you stand in, you're harnessed to, and you travel up with it.
So okay, all right, yeah.
All right.
Upper shelves. So it was parked on this dock leveler, and this truck driver was waiting to pull up, and no one was there to move the lift or anything. So he hopped in the lift and went to drive it to get it out of the way, ended up driving it off of the dock, and with an order picker, all the weight is in the front of the vehicle, so you can load up the back. So when he went off the dock, the very first thing, it just catapulted him forward, and he crushed his head on the overhead guard.
Oh, God.
Popped his head like a grape.
Oh, jeez.
Was that the coroner one?
Yes.
Okay.
First week on the job. I didn't actually see it, but I remember my boss coming back just looking like a ghost.
If you had actually witnessed that, do you think you would have been able to continue your job?
What, like for the day? Probably not.
Okay. When you said his head popped like a grape, that didn't come from you. That came from your boss. He's the one who said that because he was there to actually see what happened.
No, I have a pretty vivid imagination.
All right. Okay.
But he just saw the aftermath.
The overhead guard on these things, so it's like vertical slats, so you have visibility upwards. So it's not like a roll bar. It's just like a straight piece of steel.
So once a momentum hit, it was nothing. Yeah. Amazing you didn't get decapitated.
So it was like, think like a hard-boiled egg slicer.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right, mental note. Yeah. Don't want to get in one of those, man.
Yes, I went to high school with a guy that was a volunteer fireman.
Uh-huh.
And he brought in pictures of some guy's head that was smashed.
Ah.
And it was, like, that thick.
Ew, man.
And it was awful. Like, even telling the story right now, I can see that picture.
And he just brought it in for everyone to look at.
Yeah, I mean, we were like 18 years old.
Oh, right, so that's the age I want to look.
Okay, yeah. Jamie was an EMT. Worst thing he said he ever saw was a motorcycle go into the median with the wires.
Oh, no.
With the wire guardrails.
Just so slice them?
They're just picking things up.
Oh.
I mean, the bike parts, the body parts.
I think they were trying to get those outlawed for a while.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of bikers are definitely against it. Yeah. Like, we'd rather hit a guardrail and go over our handlebars,
fly,
man. I do not want to be sliced in half. Here's one for you. Someone says, when I was in the Army, a dangerous job in and among itself. But I watched this helicopter mechanic working on the rotors. The rotors spun up during the test, caught this lady's hair. It ripped her hair right out. Pretty much scalped her, and they had very terrible. In case we were wondering if that is a terrible vision.
Oh. Ah.
You know, man, I've been on a helicopter twice, and I know I overdo it.
Oh.
But anytime I've been on a helicopter, the propellers are already rotating. You know, you never just get on and they fire it up. Like, things are already going. And everyone ducks a little bit. I duck like there's a fire, and I'm trying to get below the smoke. I mean, I am damn near crab walking in that thing because I'm tall. And when I was growing up, there were two notable decapitations via helicopter, and I've heard both of these as a kid. It has stuck in my head, no pun intended. And so every time I see these things, like, I'm getting as low as I can get.
But if you were to try to do a skin graft, right? So that maybe...
What do you mean, you got scalped?
She could have hair again, right?
Oh, I go for the pubes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's only three places you can go. Each pit and...
Do you think she survived?
I'm sure she did.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
if you did, man, your hair looks different. Well, yeah.
Well, he didn't say she lost all her hair.
Yeah. He said she's basically scalped. But damn, yeah. Have you been on a helicopter too?
I have.
You have? Yeah. I'm telling you.
I think they're awesome, and I...
No, thank you.
I would always just duck, because that's what I saw in MASH.
Right. You know what? Honest to God, even when I was saying that, I always picture the opening to MASH, and they're all ducking down. But, I mean, I get as low as you can, to the point that the pilot's like, son, you have scoliosis. It's like, man, it's just a paranoia that I have. I'm not trying to get my head taken off by a damn helicopter propeller. Hey, I don't want to lose my head for anything, but in this situation, it seems reasonable.
How much wind is underneath it when you walk on?
You know what? I do not recall. I don't remember.
Did the rotors get turned on once you were in?
No. They have them going, and then I don't know why this is, and I don't know if it's some legal thing, but it seems like if you're scheduled to get on a helicopter, at least in my experiences, they start the rotors before you get on. And then when you get on, you're strapped in, you put on your headset kind of thing, and then they lift off. But I've never sat on one and waited for them to fire it up. Like, that bad boy's already spinning, and all I can think is, all right, you got to walk 15 feet, bro. Try to look like you're cool. Don't look like the big bitch you are. And then I realize I'm there, and I'm like, you look like the bitch you don't want to look like right now.
You're bending too far over.
I don't care.
I don't know if you have to bend over at all. I
don't care.
Again, just going back to like old school war movies, like it just looks cool.
Yeah. Mm. But I don't look cool doing it.
What was the moment that you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
One of the most dangerous jobs. Working at a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Police are hunting a man who allegedly fired shots into a KFC drive-thru in Tennessee after being given the wrong order. It was an accident. Detectives said a man in a gray Freightliner semi-truck pulled up to the fast food outlet in Memphis, placed an order at the drive-thru window on Saturday. They said he initially drove off after he received the order, but later returned to the window demanding a refund, saying that he had been given the wrong food. Well, the cashier handed over the money, and the man then pulled away before firing gunshots into the building. Although no one was injured during the incident, police said the bullets shattered glass and damaged several walls. They have issued video stills of the man on a Facebook page. They have yet to identify him. Our question, what was the moment that you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, you guys, I've heard the list of everything, all these dangerous jobs, and I've damn near done every single one of them. So,
what kind of dangerous job? What was the most dangerous, would you say?
Well, the story I'm about to tell you, but as a roofer, I've fallen through a roof, done tree work, seen all kinds. I've seen it all, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You sound like a good luck charm.
You could say that. I've had about 5-6 head injuries, and so this one's probably takes the cake, though. I was working, so I do underground utilities. I was in a manhole. We're doing a punch list to finish up items, and I'm putting concrete on the inside of a manhole. My head's kind of sticking out like a gopher. And there was a guy on the job site doing decking with a different company, and he wasn't supposed to be parked where he was, and he backed down and pinned my face between his tires and the manhole lid itself. And the lid's made out of cast iron, so if you can just kind of imagine kind of what that scenario would look
like. Wow. You were pinned by your face.
My face. So he backed down the driveway, and he pushed up against the back of my head, knocked my hard hat off, and pinned the left side of my face up against the cast iron.
So what did you say? You go, hurr, get off here.
Help.
That's exactly what it sounded like, and there was there was siders and roofers and everybody screaming at this guy. And this is where he got me is they were screaming at him, telling him, hey, stop, stop, stop. You're running somebody over. And you know when you put a big truck in park and then you go to put it back down and drive, it gives that little kind of a kick?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it did. And then as soon as you put it back down and drive and gave that little kick, my whole jaw just went pop. And I felt my whole entire jaw just pop.
Oh. How are you looking these days? Are you an uglier man than you were before you took that job?
A little bit, man. Let's just say that he was in a work truck, so work trucks come with insurance, and you know, it took a 2-year battle with a law firm company to kind of figure out where we're going to go with that.
Well, tell me, you got a decent check out of that deal?
Not really, man. It was through ex insurance company, and let's just say they have a famous actor on their commercials, it didn't do too well, especially when they say we cover everything like this, and no, they don't.
Okay,
What happened to us is the lawyer wanted to shake my hand from the other company. He wanted to come in and talk to me. I told my lawyer, no, I don't want to do it. But he said, yeah, go meet him. He wants to see you and all this stuff. As soon as he shook my hand, that's exactly what they do. They look at you, make sure you're competent. You can look him in the face, have a complete sentence. At that point, they're like, he's fine. They lowballed me as quick as possible.
Damn. Okay.
Insurance company, huh?
I've got one more question for you. Do you still work in that industry where you work underneath, doing utilities underground?
Yeah, I do. The company that happened with was kind of a small-time company. I'm working with a better company now, so we get prevailing and all that other stuff. So I make good wages now, but before, yeah, I was like, I'm done.
Okay, let me ask you this question. We've got this thing sitting out in front of our building right now, right? And it kind of looks like an oil rig on a truck. And it's been digging down into the ground with these huge-ass pipes, pulling out sludge now for like a month or so.
At least.
There's one over in front of the subway, too.
Yeah, there is. Same exact thing. And they're hammering down on Seneca. They're hammering down, boom, 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 boom. What in the hell are they doing?
That's usually what they use for oil rigging, but who knows? Maybe cleaning out the underground utilities for Seattle, all that nasty stuff that's been under there for...
Man, there must be just...
80 years.
Centuries of mud under there.
Yeah, it might be because they said something about 5G, but that truck's been there for about 6 weeks and it's moved about 15 feet forward.
Uh-huh.
But the roughly speaking, the exact same spot just every day. Kung, 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 and there's two dudes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I'll just say, probably is not contributing much.
No.
The guy in the suspenders.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're doing.
Suspenders. That's why yesterday when I saw the one on the street, I was like, no, there's two of them.
Suspenders guy doesn't move much. That's why the guy who stands in front of his his smoker for 12 hours, he's got suspenders on.
Yeah.
You don't move around.
They got the same build.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it that way.
He's wearing the thick ones, right?
He was.
He has to, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So his pants will stay up.
Yeah.
What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Zachariah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
So, it was actually my first job, and I was 19, so obviously I thought I was impervious to everything.
Of course.
But I should have known. I really should have been a lot more careful, because we have weekly meetings of so-and-so in our company, as Automotive Wreckers, has died.
Oh, jeez.
Zachariah, what were you doing? What kind of job?
So, at the time, I wasn't pulling wire, which is my more dangerous job. I wasn't over by the crusher. I was cleaning out cars. I was in the back of a car, cleaning out junk, pulling a jack out of it. But as I had my head in the back of the trunk, I started hearing just a bang and a clash and a slam. As I pulled my head out, my entire right side of me got jerked forward, and the car in front of me was gone. Turns out that the cars that were on the stands got hit by a forklift, domino effect, the whole thing.
So how are you?
I'm fine. Honestly, I've had even worse calls than that one, but that was the one that woke me up because it slammed my shoulder. The air was knocked out of me, and I was looking at these cars that were just crunched to pieces. They looked like tin cans in front of me, and all I could think is, man, one more second, and I could be part of that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
Did they stop the machine? Did anyone see what happened? Or did you have to crawl away?
So I had to crawl away. And obviously they knew that they had taken down all these cars. But the guy who's in the forklift, he's an older man who's honestly, we all decided, probably shouldn't be in there. He was a little bit on the blinder side. He didn't have good hearing. So I started yelling at him, being like, hey, man, you just about took me out. And he climbed out, looked down, and, of course, did one of those, well, what are you doing down here?
Almost dying, sir. Mm-hmm. That's all.
What do you do now?
Same job. I've stuck with it.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess you're smarter from your experience.
I guess. I mean, the only thing we hear about in radio, like young dudes dying of heart attacks, getting arrested for very illicit stuff, but that's about it. But no one like he put on his headphones and it crushed his head, you know what I mean? Or he blew himself up on a microphone. This is a reasonably safe job, but no. A lot of people, not even most, but a lot of people in the industry, at least on air, have such unhealthy habits outside. You know, like, man, he died of a heart attack at 38. Like, he was 178 pounds also.
We had emergency protocol at the station I worked at in Hagerstown. Hagerstown is a farm community. The station I worked at was in an individual brick house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mighty.
Right beside
landed, I'll hang on.
No more than 100 yards away was our tower.
Okay.
All the wires were underground. All right. They led straight to the tower. Anytime that there was a thunderstorm or an electrical storm, we had to evacuate the building and we had to go across the street and wait in the Shell or the Chevron parking lot until everything cleared out.
That's your evacuation spot, is the parking lot of a gas station.
It was one block down. They had a parking lot. So you could go and park your car in there and you had to wait. That was it. You could not be by the tower.
Really?
It was not well grounded. I mean,
Hagerstown, they didn't follow all.
The tower was right beside the building, right beside the studios, right beside the office. So,
which is funny because last summer I was driving through that area and probably one of the worst thunderstorms I've seen in 10 years.
Did you stay away from the tower?
I was going 30 on the turnpike, like
all cars,
like a road. Right, you know those roads,
and it's just, I mean, it's kind of weirdly flat in that area. And
yes,
I mean,
yes, it is.
For as mountainous as it is, you're getting up closer, you know what I mean, to the clouds, but it's still like on a plane. So, stupid. What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. So what
are you doing today?
We're doing great, Chris. Thanks, man.
Doing all right.
We're safe.
Good.
We're away from the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Away from the tower. Good. Well, this was an experience at a glass factory already, you know. But this was a place that did like the really, really huge pieces of glass. And what we did is we like laminated them or tempered them. So they would come in one end of the machine and we'd pick them up on the other end. But as they come in, they have all this dunnage on them, you know, pieces of cardboard and stuff like that. And they're like 15 feet long, about 10 feet high. They're really big. And the guy on the end that was supposed to, you know, put them in the machine, he noticed that there was a piece of dunnage at the top. And instead of putting on his neck guard, he just figured, well, I'll just hop up there real quick and knock it off. Well, the stool he was using came out from under him, and he slid the right side of his neck down the side of this glass. He had about enough time to put his hand to his neck, look at the camera, and just dropped.
Oh, God.
The EMTs came about 5 minutes later, and they said even if they were there and saw it happen, there's no way.
And this happened right in front of you.
Yeah, it was pretty bad day. I don't work there anymore. That was my first job when I came out of the Army.
Were you
in Afghanistan.
Were you looking at the screen when he looked into the camera?
Yeah, no, I saw him in the camera. He had his back to me.
At any moment during this, did you think I should be in Afghanistan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
on the flip side, did the fact that you were just coming from Afghanistan, do you think from a trauma standpoint or from the aspect of what you'd already seen, that this maybe helped you get through that a little bit easier?
Well, you know, the gore and all that stuff never really bothered me anyway. But you know, when you're over there, an explosion happens, then the alarm goes off, and you realize real quickly that, you know, there's no reason to be afraid, because if it happens, it happens. But this, you know, it's like actively, you're trying to be as safe as possible.
This is civilian,
right?
I mean,
right.
That's the difference. Your mind says, if I'm playing football and I see you blow your knee out, like, it's not a great sight, but I expect that this might happen. If I'm watching you walk down the street and it happens, I have a much different reaction.
Did you jump down and try to help this guy at all?
Oh no! I wanted to, but you know, it was drilled into our heads. You know, you don't do anything. You're not certified. Blah blah blah. Which actually kind of was. But even I wouldn't have been able to do
anything. There's nothing you can
do. Is there a doctor on the plane?
No.
I'm a dentist.
Yes, sir, doctor. I'm a PhD in botany.
Right? No, not me.
Yeah, that's crazy. The paramedics are like, we couldn't have done that.
Yeah, once he said he slid down on the glass, I'm thinking this guy's got to die, right? Not hoping it, but assuming it. And yes, that is what happened. God almighty.
What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK. And right now that pain sitting in someone's,
waterfront home.
Right. So, I wonder if it was this piece.
Oh, it's all glass paneled.
I was going to say, I was just thinking about this question. It's just like everyday jobs. Like being a bartender is kind of dangerous.
How so? What are you thinking?
I just remember like working a door or whatever. Like sometimes you got to throw people out, or maybe you work a door in a seedy area and you got to help the cops escort a guy out with a concealed weapon.
I would
unpermitted, just in his belt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think that anyone that has to deal with customers, the way that whatever has happened in this country, the way people treat each other now, becomes a dangerous job. And it goes back to, like I was saying, with the fast food. Like, when I was growing up, I mean, if your order was wrong, the worst you did was Joe Pesci from Lethal Weapon and complain about it.
Yeah.
But you didn't shoot anybody, you didn't beat anybody up. I mean, it just like that was, or if someone got shot at a McDonald's, and even if it's an employee, it had nothing to do with their order. It had to do with some beef that you had mm-hmm. with that person that came in. But like, right, people at Target getting attacked. People at Walmart getting attacked. I'm like, apparently, if you have to deal with the general public, your job has gotten exponentially more dangerous for no particular
reason.
The
only fun I've seen with a bartender was somebody came in because they were pissed off that the bartender slept with either their current girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend. I couldn't read between the lines on that. Either way, the customer jumped over the bar.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That was when Buffalo Wild Wings and WEC just started.
Was so that a Buffalo Wild Wings?
Before BW3, it was Buffalo Wild Wings and WEC.
Yeah.
I love that place. You know what I mean? I go there and get chicken wings all the time. I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. This is crazy. Bartender beat his ass, too.
Well, you go to someone's workplace.
I think when you jump over the counter and behind the bar, like, man, that just
sets
somebody
off. The
bar
I worked at in College Park, like, was terrible.
It had to be.
Right. So, like, that one, there was definitely some incidents where I was like, oh, man, we gotta stick together.
Right.
And then I worked a door in Georgetown. That one was not too bad.
That's
Georgetown.
More frat boy-y stuff.
Right. They, like, throw stuff. But every once
in a while. Throw your fist, bro.
Georgetown is more, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so-and-so
son. I'm the son of somebody who did something.
Yeah. One time on New Year's Eve, right? You can imagine New Year's Eve. 11:50, dude shows up, and I go, you can't get in there. And he's like, well, I go, like, rah, 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 and he hit me with the line, I could buy and sell you. And I was like, yeah, okay. I just can't let you in.
Yeah, right.
Buy me later.
How much do you think I'm worth, by the way?
Yeah.
And what can you sell me for? Can I get a cut?
But that one in Baltimore, we had some shady characters stop by.
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just going to cut you off. Enjoy your last drink. Please leave.
Yeah, you're always very kind about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, we're just going to, just go ahead and finish this drink. It's cool. You know, Fad, we'll even cover the cost.
You know, it's free.
Just leave when you're done.
What was, here's two straws. Right. What was the moment you realized that maybe your job was dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Just please leave.
We even called you an Uber, buddy. All right.
Because me and Dan aren't really fighters.
We're just here to look like it. Chances are you could kick our ass. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola.
So I was working up in Rainier. You probably saw the news last January. A friend of mine got buried alive digging a trench.
Yes.
They were digging down to put a sleeve in under a culvert. And they dug down way too deep. They were down 15 feet, according to L&I. And guy jumped in the hole just to sling the strap under the culvert so they could use the machine to pull the sleeve through. And it caved in on him, pinning him underneath the culvert itself. The operator and my other friend jumped in the hole to start digging him out, and it collapsed again, burying my friend alive. And the operator was buried up to his knees. He was able to get out and radio for help. By the time I got there, they'd already been under the ground for 20 minutes. Kenny, the guy under the culvert, they had exposed his head, and he was in major amount of pain, broke his arm in three places, punctured a rib, and dislocated his knee and hip. When I got there, we didn't know where little John was, so we started digging, found his hand, were able to trace that to his body, and he was gone. So we switched gears, started pulling Kenny out, got him out of the hole, and then at that point, they pulled us out. It was 8 feet deep, way too deep for any of us to be in, and they wouldn't let us go back in to rescue his body. He had to sit overnight before they could get him out.
What, I would have to assume that this is still something that's going through your mind all the time.
Oh, yeah. So it completely changed how I operate at work. Used to be, you know, you'd meet guys, oh, whatever. You don't really keep in touch with any of them. Not anymore. Every time I meet somebody on a job site, their family, it changes your perspective on all of it. I've sat through countless safety meetings, 4 hours long, listening to videos about, oh, you know, don't go in holes over 4 feet. There has to be shoring, just all this stuff. And you kind of get like, oh, whatever, you know, they just have to put this in there. They don't. It's real, you know.
What did you need to go to talk to somebody about this?
Yeah, I did. I talked to a couple therapists afterwards. I've dealt with it. I feel it's rough. He had a two-year-old daughter. It was really sad, you know, leaving her without a dad. And it was definitely probably the worst day of my life. If I had to pick one, that's the one.
Yeah, I would guess so, too.
I would assume that would be the case, man, for sure. Yeah. Wow, that was last January. Yep.
Yep. The vision of his vest in the dirt behind his body, just it's been printed in my brain. It'll never leave.
I was going to ask, you know, what is tougher, the fact that you have the loss of a friend or just the fact that you have an image that always plants in your head when you think about him?
Probably both.
Seems like if you have a traumatic experience a lot of the times, too, that you will somehow incorporate that into your dreams, and sometimes the worst thing that you can do is go to sleep because you can't control that.
Right.
Does that happen?
No, I sleep pretty well. I know that his family got taken care of by all the guys I work with, as well as, you know, death certificates, all that stuff. His daughter set up for life. From what I know, I hope that's still the case. But
yeah, crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it was the worst part was about 3 months ago, they came out with what the fines were going to be for the companies involved, that because they didn't have shoring on site. There was all kinds of like stuff that should have been taken care of that wasn't. And honestly, it was peanuts compared to what these companies make. You know, $250,000 is all they got fined for the death of an employee.
Damn.
I think most companies kind of get their out on that. No fault of the company, blah, blah, blah.
Some states have a cap on that stuff, too.
Yeah, there are
as far as injury, as far as medical negligence. It just depends on, you know, which road you're going down.
But a lot of times it depends on the jury. So a lot of the states put the cap on because, you know, the juries, and we're all merging these big-ass corporations, but, you know, they would stick it to them. And even if it's well within the means of the company to pay for it, the judges would come back and be like, all right, well, we understand why you feel the way you feel, but we feel that's just too severe. Keep in mind, someone lost their life. This is a financial thing. Someone said, hey, we can take your kid or give us $10,000. I'm going to give you $10,000, right?
And if you have life insurance, they'll go, well, you didn't have insurance for accidentally falling someplace.
Yeah, so I mean, the companies, they'll take their fine. It's like getting a speeding ticket. That $40 ain't going to break me. I don't want to pay it, but here.
Yeah, boy. Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.